What would happen if you showed up at work and rather than doing what your job title calls for to do, you instead spent the day on the phone doing a project for your car collector's club, for example? Yeah, you probably would need to find a new job, unless, of course, you're a teacher in Jersey City now. Recent court ruling declared that there's no problem with a person being paid to teach instead doing work for the teachers union, of course, at the cost of taxpayers. Here to explain the legalities of all this is the director of national litigation for Goldwater Institute, John Richards. Thanks for being here today, John.
Hey, thanks for having me, Chris.
And learn more about this case and the work at the Goldwater Institute. It's goldwaterinstitute.org. So give us some background about what this whole case was that led up to this recent ruling.
You framed it pretty well at the outset. I mean, imagine for a second if the city council or some other government agency just released two of their employees to go and work for, say, Walmart, and then Walmart could use them however the organization saw fit. They wore Walmart uniforms. They responded to Walmart calls, but all the while they were receiving government-funded salaries and benefits. That's exactly what was happening in Jersey City School District, except going to work for Walmart, they're going to work for the government union, all at the expense of taxpayers and all for the benefit of the union with very little oversight or control by the district.
Now, there actually is a negotiated program. The term is release time that allows this to happen, but just not to this degree, right?
Well, yeah, they negotiated it as part of collective bargaining. So they negotiated this benefit in a teacher's contract. The problem with that is you can't negotiate a subsidy for a private organization. In New Jersey's constitution, there is something called a gift clause, which makes a lot of sense. It says if the government's going to spend money, it can't be to subsidize a private organization. And if there is some benefit from a private organization, the government has to receive value on that and has to control the way it works. And with release time, none of those factors were satisfied. The government spent the money, and these employees were free to do whatever they wanted to do while on taxpayers' dime.
Okay, so a layperson right now listening is thinking the release time opportunity has been gone past the point of intent. The gift clause prohibits stuff like this from happening. So what did the recent court decide on all this?
The court held that it didn't violate the gift clause essentially because it was a benefit that was part of a larger contract and the public received some value from it. The facts, in our view, didn't really bear that out. What the facts showed was that, importantly, the government didn't even know what these employees were doing, and they admitted that. The school district said, hey, we don't even ask them to show us an accounting of what they do every day. So we think that was a problem in the court's ruling because the government has to the school district has to have some knowledge of what's going on. In this case, they just didn't. I mean, the employees were free to do whatever it is they wanted to do, and that's these sorts of arrangements are exactly what the gift clause was intended to prevent.
And this goes to the point, too, where these two individuals had offices, which obviously they were never in, parking places assigned to them that they never parked in because they were never at the school.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they had offices at the school district, but the only offices they ever went to were the union offices. That's where they showed up every day. They never clocked in with the district. They never reported their time to the district. Or they never reported their activities to the district, and they did purely union work.
It's made me think there was a time when there was a lot of favoritism in politics here in New Jersey. Well, still is, but it got to the point where there was a member of the state senate who was given a quote-unquote job at the University of Medical and Dentistry over in Newark. The job, basically, from all intents and from what anyone ever saw, was he'd go into the office that they gave to him. He'd sit there, read the paper, make a few phone calls, and then go home. And for the ruling to say the public received benefit from this, I'd like to. Was there any definition of that public benefit in the ruling?
No. What the law says is that the public has to be the primary beneficiary of whatever the expenditure is. And the court didn't really engage in that analysis. It said, well, I think that there's sort of some private benefit or some public benefits here, help with labor relations, labor harmony, however you define that. But it didn't really get into a detailed analysis of weighing who's the primary beneficiary of this? Is it really actually the district, or is it in fact the union? And interestingly, when we got to learn about all the activities these union employees were engaging in, they were all for the private benefit of the union. They would recruit new members. They would negotiate new contracts. They would file grievances against the district. I mean, all things that purely benefited the private organization rather than the public at large. But unfortunately, there wasn't a real careful weighing of the private versus public benefits here.
I was thinking maybe the public get turns at those two parking places. Maybe they get turns at taking some space in the office from time to time. You know, that's about the only benefit I think that could be realized from all this. We're talking with John Riches, who is the director of national litigation with the Goldwater Institute. Goldwaterinstitute.org is the website. We're talking about some Jersey City Education Association teachers who aren't teaching. Well, maybe they are teaching something, how to fleece the taxpayers of Jersey City for a good chunk of change. Do we know how much this little folly has cost taxpayers?
Yeah, over $1 million for the duration of the contract.
Oh, and for New Jersey corruption, that's a pretty low figure. They have to try harder.
Well, unfortunately, the practice doesn't just exist in Jersey City. It exists throughout the state of New Jersey, essentially at all levels of government. It's a pretty sad state of circumstances where many unions have negotiated for this taxpayer abuse.
And with that in mind, this whole ruling brings about a dangerous precedent now, doesn't it?
Well, we'll see. A trial court's ruling is not binding outside the parties that are part of the case. Should the case go up on appeal, that decision would be a statewide binding. So, we're looking at the appellate options right now, and we think that the case law is favorable for taxpayers. Should this go up on appeal, we're hoping for a different result.
We should mention, too, that this whole lawsuit was launched by a couple of Jersey City residents, a.k.a. taxpayers. So it shows that when people raise their voices, if nothing else, at least it shines a light on some situation that a lot of people probably prefer stayed in the dark.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And in New Jersey, any taxpayer who's been harmed by a government expenditure, so who pays into the pot of money, can challenge that expenditure in court. And that makes perfect sense. I mean, that's the entire point of the gift clause, is to prevent illegal government expenditures. And so it does take citizens standing up and saying, I think that this is unlawful, and then challenging that activity in court.
Learn more about this case. You can download the files and make sense of what might be a little confusing situation when you take the ruling into light, and hopefully some sanity will fall down upon this, because like we just talked about too, this is allowed to stand, then precedent can be costly for taxpayers in a lot of communities, and not just the state. The precedent becomes a precedent nationwide in a lot of cases too. You can learn more about this at goldwaterinstitute.org. We've been talking with the director of national litigation for the Goldwater Institute, John Riches. John, thanks for the update in this case.
Chris, appreciate you having me on.